WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More administration building for President-elect Trump. He's nominating billionaire Scott Bessent as Commerce Secretary. Bessent has advised Trump on economic policy and was a frequent presence at Mar-a-Lago this week and last. The Supreme Court is allowing a multi-billion-dollar investor lawsuit against Meta.
Meta's already paid a $5 billion fine and reached a $725 million privacy settlement with Facebook users over their personal information being compromised by Cambridge Analytica, the firm that supported Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. But Meta investors say they were also hurt by the drop in Facebook stock price after the scandal was disclosed. Meta tried to get the Supreme Court to shut down the lawsuit. Justices said they'd allow it to proceed.
ABC Sherry Preston. A federal jury in Minnesota convicted two men in the deaths of a migrant family that froze to death in 2022 trying to cross the Canada-U.S. border on foot in a blizzard. This is ABC News. Guilty pleas by the owners of a defunct funeral home near Colorado Springs.
John and Carrie Hulford allegedly piled 190 bodies up in a room temperature building and gave grieving relatives fake ashes while using their customers' money to live extravagant lifestyles. They ran Return to Nature Funeral Home and gave families dry concrete in place of human remains. The Hulfords on Friday pleaded guilty to state charges. Last month, they pleaded guilty to federal counts. Both are in custody. The two have been charged with over 200 counts of corpse abuse, theft, forgery, and money laundering. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In Georgia, half a dozen state and county agencies are investigating a burned funeral home after a photographer from England said he found urns, bags of human ashes, and even human remains in what's left of the Norman Medford Peden funeral home and crematory. The building was up for foreclosure before the fire earlier this year. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. November is Military Family Appreciation Month, and moving from military service into the workforce can be a tough transition, both for the service member and their family. Simone Perez reports.
About 200,000 service members a year transition from active duty to civilian life, and many experience rescinded offers, underemployment, or inadequate preparation for their transition. Jonathan Pride from NPower, an organization that provides skill training to veterans and their families, says uncertainty is one of their biggest challenges in the transition.
A lot of the time, it's the only job they've ever had, and so they don't know how their skills will translate on the other side with corporations and partners and employers. Trying to translate their skills and their experiences into a resume, I think, is one of the hardest things.
The National Veterans Training Institute found that veteran unemployment dropped by more than 3% in 2023. But Pride says veterans also run into what he calls the paper ceiling, a barrier that keeps workers without college degrees from getting higher wage jobs. Given the frequency of moves, service members often don't finish their schooling in one place. Price says many times they leave the military with some college or maybe a couple classes away from a degree.
When an employer has a paper ceiling in place where the minimum expectation is a college degree, sometimes that disqualifies many qualified veterans and veteran spouses who could do very well in these roles, but because they don't have a college degree, they're barred from entry into that employer.
Pride says NPower looks past the degree requirements to work directly with employers to place veterans in apprenticeships. That way they can learn on the job, pursue an education, and earn a paycheck. I'm Simone Perez. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, early clouds give way to partial sunshine in the afternoon and a high in the low 40s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-40s on Sunday. A chance of rain as we look into Monday.
It's 39 right now.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up on the show for you today. Really looking forward to our guest at 10:33. Wisconsin Senator-elect Jamie Wahl will be here.
Nice.
One of the new Democrats heading into the Wisconsin Senate. We will talk to Jamie, want to find out what inspired him to run and what he has heard when he talked to constituents. And this was a victory.
This is a victory.
It's big a victory. Time. So we will be talking to Jamie Wahl coming up after the 10:30 news. An extra dose of recombobulating today with Dan Schaefer.
You don't say.
Yes, Dan will be here at 11:06. Dan Schaefer, of course, the author of the Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. He will be here from 11 until 11:50. And then we're going to wrap it up, of course, as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Creepy Crawly edition.
I read this one.
I know. If you remember back to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yes.
That's the kind of creepy crawly we're talking about.
But voluntary.
Yes.
There it is.
Oh, nice. That is coming up at 11:51. I hope you can stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, with this story from Wisconsin Public Radio. And I just feel so badly for this family.
Yeah.
The headline reads, this is from Joe Schultz again from WPR. Authorities make contact with kayaker who went missing in Green Lake and has now revealed how he faked his death.
This one is this one's an interesting article to me, but go on.
A man, Ryan Borgwart, 45, of Watertown, went missing in Green Lake over the summer, but now has apparently made contact with local law enforcement to tell them how he faked his death and fled the country. They don't know exactly where Borgwart is, but they know it is somewhere in Eastern Europe. If you remember this story, and I do, they searched for well over a month.
54 days, it says in the article.
54 days they looked for this man after his kayak was found in Green Lake, overturned, along with his phone, and no other sign of him.
Yeah.
And obviously the body had never been recovered, but it was assumed that he had drowned. Not so.
No.
Green Lake County Sheriff Mark Podell on Thursday said the sheriff's office got into contact with Borgwart November 11th. They asked him a number of questions, including to confirm he is who he is. And so Borgwart actually sent them videos of himself, like proof of life. So the sheriff says the great news is we know he's alive and well. The bad news is that we don't know exactly where Ryan is, and he has not decided to return home. Again, this man left behind a wife and three children.
I'm a little... I'm kind of without words because it's... Okay, this whole thing kind of doesn't make sense, first of all. Okay, fake your death, go move away. That's a movie. The movies have been made about that.
Right.
But the first line of the article says that the kayaker made contact with the local law enforcement. Why would he do that?
That's an excellent question.
And then the other thing, too, is he says something to the effect of, I didn't think they'd make such a big deal out of it. I figured they'd just look for about 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks is a little less than 54 days, but that's still a lot of time and energy.
And resources.
Resources, which, by the way, they said in the article, they're possibly going to try to get restitution. I said between $35,000 to $40,000 because that money was spent looking for him. On top of the fact that they said he says something about there was life insurance talk. Well, if you made contact, that life insurance money is
gone.
Is gone now. They're going to want it back.
Right.
And now you have further
harmed.
Plowed your wife and kids into the ground for money. It sounds like a guy who does not really care at all, who's just saying, yeah, I'm in where I need to be, and you guys can try to look for me. I don't care. I'm doing my thing.
It is a really disturbing story.
Yeah.
And again, we'll put it in the show notes. I just feel so badly for this woman and her children.
Yes. And we were talking about this earlier, and in the article, the sheriff keeps saying, we're trying to tug at his heartstrings. The man doesn't have a heart. He doesn't care about his wife or children. I would say his ex-wife now, really, when it comes down to it. So stop trying to appeal to his better angels. He has none.
Yeah, it's tough to see where those better angels would come in on this.
No.
So apparently Borgwart told the sheriff's office that he rented an e-bike and then hid the e-bike near the boat launch at Green Lake. Then he paddled his kayak out onto the lake along with an inflatable child-sized boat. So once he gets out into the middle of Green Lake, he overturns the kayak, throws his phone in the lake, and then gets in the inflatable boat and paddles back.
Yeah.
Gets on the e-bike, drives through the night to Madison. On Madison, he gets on a bus to Detroit. From Detroit, he goes to Canada and then continued on into Canada, got to an airport, and got on a plane. The sheriff says, we're continuing to verify this information, trying to put the dots together. We feel that this was Ryan's way that he could tell the entire country how he did it. So he wants to brag?
Yeah, I don't give a hoot how he did it, honestly. The fact is, we go back to what you were saying. Let's talk to the wife and the children and see how they're doing. Because that family is going to need therapy. And I'm not being funny.
And I would think financial assistance.
Yes, exactly. Because the insurance company is going to come knocking on their door, probably already saying, hey, so remember that money we gave you?
Yeah, we want that back.
Yep, sorry. And now your husband is liable for insurance fraud as well.
The sheriff says no warrants for Borgwart's arrest have been issued. He added he does not believe a warrant will be needed if he decides to cooperate and come home. Well, yeah. We're expressing the importance of his decision to return home to clean up the mess he's created. Our primary concern is that he gets safely back to U.S. soil. He needs to return home to his children. The sheriff said Borgwart had personal matters going on, which made him believe faking his death and leaving the country was the best thing to do.
Is this sheriff the sheriff of Mayberry? Because he is very lighthearted and optimistic about what could happen here. This is a man who obviously has skipped the country, skipped the continent, and he's going to live his life. He has no reason to come back.
Borgwart has expressed to local authorities his biggest concern would be how the community would react to him should he return. Well, yeah, it's called consequences, Bill. You think they're going to welcome you back with open arms and say, God, we missed you?
Oh, man. The local narcissist has returned. How you doing, Billy? My God, this man sucks.
Sheriff's office does plan to charge Borgwart with obstruction of justice. They will seek restitution, as you mentioned, Greg, between $35,000 and $40,000, not discussing potential federal charges that Borgwart may face. Again, I saw a couple of things that hypothesized that he was in Uzbekistan. He had met some, I know, he had met some woman online who spoke Russian, and it's just really, really sad for his wife and kids.
It really, really sucks. And honestly, if he's not coming back for his children, let's break it down even further. He put together a illustrious plan to leave the country because maybe there's some things happening. When you do something like this, it's because you're like, I'm going to fake my death to get the insurance for my family because we need it. And this is all like, I'll just do this. He does not care about his family. He does not care about his wife or children. He has no reason to come back here. They need to find him and bring him back to this country and charge him. This is ridiculous. This notion that he might come back.
And I'm going to continue. Well, right. And I'm going to continue pulling at his heartstrings.
Yeah.
So he can be reunited with his family. I guess that's an honorable goal.
That's a real Midwestern America thing. Like, you got kids, buddy. It's possible for parents not to care about their kids.
Unfortunately, I think we see examples of that all the time.
Yeah. This is another guy who just, like, he's worried about how the town will see him.
Yeah. He doesn't mention his wife and his children.
No.
And how they would react to him returning. But, yeah, you're going to be, you might be ostracized by the community, buddy, because they search for you for 54 days. And then I'm assuming they held a funeral.
Yeah, of course.
And went through all of that. And again, his poor wife and children. I hope the community is going to surround them with comfort and support.
I really hope so, too, because in situations like this, they can become the ostracized ones. Oh, my gosh, did you hear about this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. No, just help them and arrest that dude. I really can't stress enough how little I care about this man's well-being. I want him to go to jail.
Well, I would certainly hope that should he come back, and I think that's really unlikely.
Slim?
Yeah, slim to none.
Yeah.
Although, again, maybe things aren't going as well as he thought they were going to go in Uzbekistan, and that's why he reached out, and it's like, maybe they'll take me back because I'm not liking it here.
I figured they'd only search for me for 2 weeks. That justified it for him. Oh, you spent 54. You didn't have to do that. That's a lot of searching. Just find him, arrest him, put him in jail, give the kids all college educations on me. I'll pay for him.
And the trouble is going to be, too, is that some of these countries, I believe, including Uzbekistan, we do not have extradition deals with that country.
No. And, well, they haven't charged him either.
Right. Don't do this.
Yeah.
Can we just not?
Yes.
I know divorce is awful. I've been divorced. Nobody likes to get divorced.
Yeah.
Get divorced. Don't do this.
This as hard as you think divorce may be, and I've never been divorced, but I have friends who have. As hard as you think divorce may be, it's going to be a lot harder to do what this idiot did. And Uzbekistan is not a place to go to, like, live out your salad days.
Well, you just ski Uzbekistan doesn't come up a whole lot. All right. We were going to talk about this yesterday. Something happened on a plane recently going from Milwaukee to Canada. Let's not do this. That's on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Lake Shore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Wisconsin Senator-elect Jamie Wahl from District 30 is going to be joining us. Looking forward to talking about his background and what inspired him to get into politics and what his district is like and what he's hearing and what he heard from constituents as he was knocking doors. So we're changing things a little bit in the Wisconsin legislature, certainly fairer than it has been.
It was a pretty good night for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Local for statewide politics.
It definitely was. If we're looking, and we are looking for bright spots, I won't deny that. Those are some bright spots. So Jamie Wahl coming up after the 10:30 news. Dan Schaefer, a lot of recombobulating coming up in hour number two. So stick around for that as well. If you have been on a flight where there has been a passenger disturbance, I would love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. My husband and I really only travel once a year. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we're on flights all the time and run into this. But this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Drake Bentley a couple of days ago. Canadian man on an American Airlines flight from Milwaukee to Dallas-Fort Worth tried to open the cabin door while in midair. Yeah. It happened on an American Airlines flight on Tuesday.
Of course, American.
The department responding to a report of a disruptive passenger on board and did take one person into custody. The flight attendant telling police the guy got up in the middle of the flight and told her he needed to exit the plane immediately. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
No. He then began to get rowdier before pushing the 79-year-old attendant.
Let's put a pin in that one and come back to it.
Yeah. Trying to reach the plane's cabin door. So he shoves past the flight attendant, trying to get to the cabin door. Three other passengers help the attendant and finally pin him down. Reports say the man's legs and wrists were taped in order to restrain him. Ultimately, the plane did land at Dallas-Fort Worth with agents responding to the flight. The flight attendant had her wrist and neck injured because of the altercation. She was taken to the hospital but has been released. Passengers on the flight saying, he says, I'm getting off this plane. I got to get off. We're 30,000 feet in the air going 300 plus miles per hour. Nobody's getting off this plane right now. A flight attendant told Doug McWright she needed help. The guy's like 6'3", 6'4". I was behind him. I grab him, pull him back so he can't reach the handle on the door. They said they struggle for a little more than a minute. It was just chaos. Backing up.
Let's go back to that. Let's go back to one of the main points that really stuck out to both of us.
Backing up. He then began to get rowdier before rushing the 79-year-old attendant.
Out of my way, Myrna.
I'm an older person. I am grateful to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize, I mean, flight attendants are far more than just waiters and waitresses in the sky, right? Since 9/11 and all of those things, and there are very serious responsibilities assigned to our flight attendants. And I was just, that took me aback that there is no age required or age limit?
So I looked it up. It said there's generally no upper age limit for flight attendants as long as they can pass a medical check and perform emergency procedures. So we actually don't know what this 79-year-old, I think because the story said he brushed past her. We imagine it being some spindly, like, you know, like, my name is Edna. Would you like cookies?
Right.
But, you know, she could beat me up for all I know.
That's a very good point. Yeah. It's not fair for us to just assume.
It's ageist of us.
It is very ageist of
us. I'm sorry, the world. Don't cancel me, please.
We apologize.
No, cancel us. We'll get more famous.
Does that help?
It does.
Okay, we'll have to shoot. Something to shoot for. Anyway, again, I remember during the pandemic, it seemed like we were having to duct tape our fellow passengers at least a couple times a week.
Sometimes their mouths.
Because people were so cuckoo.
Yes.
About mask mandates and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I thought we had gotten away from that a little bit.
Well, I think the question I have is he simply just said, I have to get off this plane right now.
Yeah.
So I would love to know what's going, because correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not a flight equipment specialist, but I think it's almost impossible to open a door mid-flight.
Just because of the pressure?
The pressure and the way it's designed, you have to do a certain, like, I don't think you can open that door. You don't want someone trying to. That just scares the passengers. But I think it's near impossible to do it.
Well, if you are an aeronautics expert,
there's the word I was looking for.
You happen to be listening.
I said airplane equipment specialist. But yeah, but I'd like to know what this because
is that even feasible? Can you even actually do that?
Yeah. And earlier when we were talking about scumbag McJump the country, someone said, sounds like he needs mental health help. Well, maybe, but I also think he's kind of like a dim-witted scumbag. But this guy, when you just get up and say, I need to get off this plane.
Yeah, I have to get off now.
I want to know what made him do this and push a little old lady, well, push a person over.
An older person.
An older person over. Like, I want to know more about this person.
He should talk to somebody.
He should talk to somebody. He should also face whatever charges or whatever punishment. Oh, yeah. But, like, you don't just stand up and say, I need to get off this plane without something pushing you towards that. I'm very intrigued.
We'll see. We will see if we can find out more.
Also, never flying an American again.
I guess we just have to be alert when we fly these days. And bring duct tape. I'm just going to start flying with duct tape because you never know when you might need it.
You might need a duct tape a passenger, and they might need a duct tape a piece of fruit to the wall and sell it as art.
It could be a door flying off, and you need to duct tape the door on. With duct tape.
If it's a Boeing plane, you know, it's just helpful.
Bring duct tape.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the time I won't have to say.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More administration building for President-elect Trump. He's nominating billionaire Scott Bessent as Commerce Secretary. Bessent has advised Trump on economic policy and was a frequent presence at Mar-a-Lago this week and last. The Supreme Court is allowing a multi-billion-dollar investor lawsuit against Meta.
Meta's already paid a $5 billion fine and reached a $725 million privacy settlement with Facebook users over their personal information being compromised by Cambridge Analytica, the firm that supported Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. But Meta investors say they were also hurt by the drop in Facebook stock price after the scandal was disclosed. Meta tried to get the Supreme Court to shut down the lawsuit. Justices said they'd allow it to proceed.
ABC Sherry Preston. A federal jury in Minnesota convicted two men in the deaths of a migrant family that froze to death in 2022 trying to cross the Canada-U.S. border on foot in a blizzard. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Big changes for the Packers game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the 49ers tomorrow, kickoff at 3:25. We told you Jaire Alexander and rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper are out with injuries for this game, but the 49ers will be without their top pass rusher, Nick Bosa, and quarterback Brock Purdy, who injured his right shoulder against the Seahawks and couldn't finish practice on Thursday, so that means that backup Brandon Allen will start at quarterback, who's been with the Jaguars, the Broncos, and the Rams, Matt LaFleur.
I mean, I know Brandon. I was with him in L.A. He's been in the league now a long time, but I wouldn't expect their offense to change a whole bunch.
College football, Wisconsin at Nebraska today. We'll have a full recap tonight. Basketball, the Bucks with a 129-117 win over the Pacers.
They're an excellent offensive team. I thought our defense was phenomenal tonight. We turned the ball over, you know, and then we caught ourselves, but that's the most locked in that I've seen us defensively.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, early clouds give way to partial sunshine in the afternoon and a high in the low 40s. Mostly cloudy and a high in the mid 40s on Sunday, a chance of rain as we look into Monday.
It's 39 right now.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to download the completely free Civic Media app wherever you get your apps that enables you to call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to across the state. Civic Media app, C-I-V-I-C, civicmedia.us. Very excited to be joined by our guest. It's kind of a getting to know you segment. Jamie Wahl is Wisconsin State Senator-elect for the 30th District in Wisconsin. Good morning, Jamie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I was on a similar local radio show a few days ago, and the plan music was actually getting to know you.
Well, for people who do not know you, you represent the 30th District, which includes parts of Brown County, correct?
Correct. It's the center. It's the heart of the Green Bay metro area. So almost all of the city of Green Bay, plus Ashwaubenon and Alloway, Bellevue, De Pere, and just a little bit of Ledgeview and Rockland to the south. But core of Green Bay metro. Can't go wrong there.
And you have been involved in politics for a while. It's not like this is something that you're completely new to, from what I understand.
Sure, on and off. I ran the state's private sector economic development programs, helping businesses large and small create jobs around the state. Gosh, that's almost 20 years ago now, back in the Doyle administration. So yes, I've had some exposure to state government before.
What was it this time around that you were like, I need to run, I need to jump into this, I wanna win?
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess you got to start with the new legislative maps. And I'm sure you guys and a lot of people listening are familiar with that whole dynamic. But the Green Bay area used to be the poster child for the Republican gerrymander, in that it took the metro and split it up sort of three ways out to the horizon. My new district, the one I'll represent come January, actually has or had at one point, I'm not sure if one of them's moved already, but three Republican state senators living in it who are, you know, about 3-4 miles apart from each other. So that gives you an indication of just how crazy that situation was. But they created a district that was winnable, and I was not particularly happy about the leadership we had from the legislature in Madison over the past 10 or 15 years. And I'm sure we can get into that a little bit as we go on here. But it was a combination of those two things, and it was sort of a look to your left, look to your right kind of moment. You know, who's better equipped than I am to do it, and wasn't sure we found somebody who was. So, yeah, I jumped in with both feet back in March, and after a ton of work and almost 19,000, knocking on almost 19,000 doors across the district, I won a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
That's amazing. 19,000. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine knocking on 19,000 doors. And good.
I went in for my annual physical a week ago, and my blood pressure was 104 over 60.
Wow.
Running for office can be good for your health if you do it the right way.
Blood pressure problems, run for office. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Well, Jamie, first of all, congratulations. Yes. Thank you so much. Sure. And thank you for being here today. We've had a lot of incumbents and people running for office. And one of the things we always ask is, you mentioned it too, the door knocking, going out there and talking to the people, getting to know what is concerning them. And, yeah, you know, a lot of these individuals, especially with gerrymandered maps, had representatives who didn't have to campaign to win because they weren't threatened by an opponent. So I imagine there, one, had to have been people surprised to see, like, oh, there's someone knocking on my door. You want to talk to me? And two, what was the thing I would ask that connected us, you know, whether or not you knew or they were voting for you or not, but those connective tissue, whether it's, economy, things like that. What was the thing that, you know, made us more alike than separate?
Sure. I mean, I'd say a couple things on that front, Greg. I mean, one was not so much an issue, but an attitude. And a lot of people and, you know, Democrats, Republicans, people in between would say something to me like, look, why can't you bozos just try to work together and get something done for us? And, you know, and sometimes they wouldn't say bozos, but
I bet.
So, you know, people have noticed the kind of, you know, divisive my way or the highway politics that we've seen coming out of the legislature under Republican control for the past 15 years. And heck, I mean, the situation's even worse in Washington. So I think there's an expectation, and it's a reasonable one, that people try to look for common ground about how we can work together and move the ball forward and, you know, try to work within the 30-yard lines instead of, you know, way out in the fringes. So that's one message I heard. The other thing, and you mentioned a little bit, Greg, was economics. This is no shock if you've been paying any attention to politics in Wisconsin or across the country, but there are a lot of people out there who are feeling a little pinched by the cost of living here over the past several years. And they wanted to talk to me about how their grocery bills had gone up, or and there's not a lot the state can do about that, but Housing was definitely an issue. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, my house is worth not quite double what it was 5 or 7 years ago.
It's
and
crazy.
That's great for me since I own it and all. But yeah. If you're trying to afford that first mortgage or paying rent and you've seen your rent go up with the cost of housing around you, that's a big deal. And then, you know, other things like childcare is a big deal for people who have small kids. Healthcare and, mm-hmm. and the affordability of healthcare coverage is a big deal for almost everybody. So those were actually the issues I campaigned on. I was trying to meet people where they were. And, I said we can do some things at the state level to help out with housing costs, with healthcare, with childcare. And given that we're sitting on a fairly substantial surplus, we can give some of that money back to the people who need it the most in the form of middle-class tax cuts. So those were, in essence, the issues I campaigned on. And I think that was a message that I heard loud and clear from people at the doors. And I think it resonated with the voters in a couple weeks ago, too.
Jamie, going back to the housing issue, how concerned are you about, because I keep seeing more stories about hedge funds buying up housing stock and hedge funds buying up more rental properties, and they don't have vested interest in these communities. And obviously it's for profit, it has to be for profit,
sure.
but still it just seems so predatory and so dangerous to me.
Right. Well, look, I mean, I believe in capitalism, but I can understand why people have some concerns there. I mean, the people who run those funds are not particularly sentimental folks, and they're not particularly sentimental about my community or others. I haven't seen a lot of that issue arise locally. I mean, it may be in other parts of the state or across the country. One thing that I've tried to focus on when it comes to housing is just building more. I think we've been behind the eight ball. I mean, you know, here in the Green Bay area, definitely in other parts of the states, it's even worse, you know, in other parts of the country, but we just haven't been building enough housing to keep up with demand. And that means single family apartments, condos, townhouses, whatever, you name it. Some of the things I'm excited about is working on things like moving the coal piles in Green Bay up to the port at the mouth of the river. That'd create about 40 acres of developable land that can be developed right in the Fox River, be great for the community in all sorts of ways if we can do that. So that's just one example. And there's probably other things, looking at zoning and, you know, working with local officials to make sure that they have the resources to encourage housing development in their communities here and across the state. So that was my primary focus when it came to housing.
If you're just joining us, Wisconsin Senator-elect Jamie Wahl is our guest. He is representing Wisconsin's 30th Senate District, just recently elected to the Wisconsin State Senate. Going back to the gerrymandered maps, Jamie, and mm-hmm. you said that there were three Republicans who, before the maps were changed to be fairer, who were living in the same district. I just can't imagine the level of smug, because that you can live in this community for so long and yet you do not have to respond to your constituents. You do not have to accomplish anything for your constituents. And yet you still see them once a week. You see mm-hmm. them when you're walking down the street. I don't know. They must have a certain kind of armor or something.
Sure. Well, look, I mean, I think politics works best in any democracy if you have people who are incented to look after the people in the middle, you know, the average working person. And if you have these bomb-proof districts, you're really not accountable to many people. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're afraid of a primary and you keep looking over your shoulder and you need to make sure that you're, you know, you towed the ideological line, but...
Nope.
No, Jamie, you just froze there for a second.
But it's a good look.
It is a good look.
Good smile.
If you have to freeze, and there you are, you're back.
Oh, sorry. It stuttered for a second.
That's okay. Yeah.
You were saying?
Oh, I'm trying to remember what I was saying. My hope is that with the seats that we picked up in the Senate, we were 5 for 5 among Senate Democrats in competitive races, and four of those were new seats. We bumped off two incumbents and picked up two open seats. So we're not in a majority, but we're within striking distance of a majority in a couple years. My hope is that with the closer margins now in the Senate, we'll see the Republicans kind of forced to behave like normal politicians, where we should talk about what works for the average Wisconsinite, and maybe compromise and cooperation aren't dirty words. And maybe we can get past at least a little bit this my way or the highway situation. But we're in this world because of a lot of hard work from me and, you know, the rest of people in the caucus, you know, knocking on the doors and raising the money to make that happen. And also because we ran on issues that were important to the average voter. I mean, I was talking to people about just bread and butter, kitchen table economic issues and, you know, not some of the silliness we saw at the national level, these kind of issues that are attempting to divide us instead of bring us together.
I mean, that's what I was going to ask and talk about, is that, you know, regardless of who has the majority, there is now an incentive maybe to work together. And I think, and as you said before, you know, to quote one of the people you spoke with, I wish the bozos would get it done. It might be more advantageous to those Republicans, and maybe they did want to work together and they were afraid of, I don't know. That's all speculation. But like we saw in this past, in 2023, they didn't work a lot in 2024. There was his 10 month break. They're still on, but we saw and heard about a lot of bipartisan work that had happened between the two groups.
Yes.
And we tried to highlight it every single time to show, yes, you can work together. Yes, you can get things done. And let the people know that, yes, your legislators do get into a room together and create change for this state. And I'm hoping that's even more so in 2025 now, because it's, you know, would I like to see a Democratic majority? I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. But I would rather see working together and getting things done, especially when it comes to things like releasing monies for various programs, utilizing that surplus correctly, or at least entertaining great ideas for it rather than just saying everyone gets a check.
No, fair enough. I mean, just look, Greg, I barely know the people in my own caucus yet, much less the Republicans in the state.
I'm
Senate.
Sure.
But yeah. I have been reaching out. You know, I have a list of people I want to talk to, and it grows by the day, but I'm, you know, checking some of them off as I go along here too. And, you know, I have called, or I'm going to call all of the Republicans whose districts border mine. And so far, you know, no one has said, I don't want to talk to you. Like, sure. You know, let's grab coffee next week, or, you know, have lunch and see what we can do for the community. Because I mean, the truth is that, look, there's just some local issues, you know. I mentioned moving the coal piles, creating a new, you know, new housing development in the River of Green Bay. That's something people ought to be able to work together and agree on across party lines. You know, just real meat and potatoes things. I sat down with the mayor of De Pere a couple days ago, and they're talking about, well, the state needs to develop West Main Street in De Pere in a few years, and we want to do it right because we might not get a crack at it again for 50 years.
Sure.
So can we redo the railroad bridge so we have a consistent four lanes instead of a pinch point down to three when you cross that bridge, and that backs up people in rush hour? And, you know, and I remember seeing that happen when I was a kid, and that's a few decades ago at this point. So just things like that. I think we can do the people's work, and we can do the people's work better if we work together across the aisle.
We are going to continue our conversation with Jamie Wahl. He is Wisconsin Senator-elect for the 30th District. Cindy, I see you on the line. If you can hang on, we will be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Cal Viente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. An hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Creepy Crawly edition. And if you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Delighted to be joined by our guest. He is Wisconsin Senator-elect Jamie Wahl for the 30th District, newly elected after the Fairer maps. And Jamie, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you had mentioned knocking on the doors and hearing people and how fed up they were with nothing seemingly getting done in Congress. So, because Greg and I talk about this all the time, and we live in politics, and this is the pool in which we swim, but I think Wisconsinites over the last couple of years really became acutely aware of the whole gavel in, gavel out, let's not do anything. And I think that hurt the Republicans.
I mean, I would agree. I mean, I would always say to people, look, I mean, you can't take the politics out of politics, but maybe not everything needs to be a knife fight all the time. I mean, there's some of these issues where you could put four reasonable people around a table for an afternoon and they could, you know, come up with something that would, you know, make most people happy. Not 100%. That might be too much to ask. And I don't know. And I think, you know, most people aren't political creatures. I mean, they just want things to more or less work around them, right? You know, are their streets paved? Are they safe? Are the public schools decent? I mean, those are all issues that came up, and obviously all the cost of living things that I talked about earlier. I mean, I think we haven't touched on really the schools much here yet. And three out of the four school districts in my state Senate district, you know, went to referendum here, you know, a couple weeks ago, and all of those measures passed by almost two-thirds, somewhere right around there in the mid-60s. And that tells you people support their schools. But, you know, I believe the state has been holding up its side of the bargain, in that the end result of all of these referendums across the state is that we're transferring more and more of the cost of education onto the local property tax holders. Yes. And look, nobody likes a tax. I get that. But if there's one tax people especially don't like, it's the property taxes. So, I mean, my hope is coming into this next session, we'll be able to work together and find a way to fund our public schools better, and at the same time, buy down some of that pressure on the local property tax rolls. And I think that's a win for everybody involved, for the kids and for the property taxpayers here as well.
Well, and I just don't understand how the state can mandate programs and then not release the fundings for the programs which have been mandated. That just doesn't, that doesn't make any sense.
If you talk to any public school administrator, the first words out of their mouth are special education reimbursement. And it's a little esoteric, but it's a big, big sucking hole in their budget all the time. And you know, and again, the state with its broader and fairer taxing capacity ought to be helping out those districts and not forcing them to rely on the local property taxpayer as much as they are now.
So, I think people now, though, Jamie, are acutely aware of what kind of cost teachers take out of their own pocket. So when they say reimbursements, they'd be like, yeah, because the school should be paying for the school supplies, not the teachers. And we have the money to do it. Therefore we should be paying for the programs. And like you and Jane said, it's mind boggling to me that we would say, yep, we have a program. It's gone through, it's passed. It's going to cost X amount of money. we're not giving you the money right now. We'll see.
But make it happen. Cindy from Appleton has been very, very patient hanging on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience. What did you want to say?
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Jamie. This is the first I've heard that you won, so I'm thrilled. And I would just like to say that he is going to be the type of candidate, a politician that represents all of us. So he's going to do great things for us. And again, congratulations.
Appreciate that.
Was that it, Cindy?
Yep.
Wow.
All right. Well,
no, thank you. Okay. For the record, I didn't even put her up to that. So
now, Jamie, if all of your constituent calls can be like this every day, Jamie, you're doing a great job. Congratulations.
This is gonna be a breeze, let me tell you.
No notes. Keep doing you, buddy.
But going back to the schools, Jamie, I think it's important, as you pointed out, the vast majority of these many, many referendums across the state all passed, which just tells us that people do love their public schools. Not everyone wants to go to a private school.
Oh, public schools, look, they give us bring us together. I'm whatever success I've had in my life is because, you know, my parents worked hard and the taxpayers back in the 80s, invested a good public education system for me. You know, K-12, I was the first in my family to go to college, you know, down at UW-Madison. And I'll date myself, but I paid $800 a semester when I started there for the first time, you know, for one of the top 50 universities in the world. So, but, you know, obviously, this stuff pays dividends. I mean, obviously, all this the education that the taxpayers of Wisconsin provided for me changed my life and made me a more productive, you know, adult. And I've made some money over the course of the last few decades and paid my taxes and tried to, you know, feed that system. And I think we owe the same thing to the kids today that I had. But, you know, Greg, I think you're right that people do support their public schools. And if you look at what we did in the state Senate a couple Tuesdays ago, in focusing on these kind of issues on schools, on cost of living, I ran ahead of Harris, Baldwin, and Biden, and so did many of my colleagues, and I think that puts us in a good position looking forward in 2 years.
Jamie Wall, thank you so very much. Wisconsin Senator-elect for the 30th District. We will stay in touch. Can't wait to have you back. News is coming up next. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Bible is coming to some public schools in Texas. The state school board approved granting schools the option of basing lesson plans on the Christian Holy Bible.
The vote by the Texas State Board of Education followed days of debate and refinements from the publishers of a teaching package called Bluebonnet. Critics say the materials refer to Christian Bible stories at the exclusion of other religions. The state school board, which has drifted to the right in recent years, has approved the curriculum for kindergarten through fifth grade starting in the 2025-26 school year. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
In his first interview since withdrawing his nomination for Attorney General, former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz told the Charlie Kirk Show, payback for helping oust Kevin McCarthy as Speaker last year helped torpedo his nomination. Hyundai and Kia are recalling 208,000 late-model electric vehicles. This is ABC News. ABC's Alex Stone says a man is under federal indictment in Oregon, charged with trying to skirt sanctions on Russia.
57-year-old Sanjay Kalshik of India was arrested in Miami last month and now has been indicted in Oregon for allegedly exporting aviation components from the U.S. to Russia for use in civilian and military aircraft. A DOJ task force called KleptoCapture, which focuses on enforcing sanctions on Russia following the invasion of Ukraine, put the case together. Kalshik is accused of buying navigation parts that could be used on military helicopters and claiming they were going to India, but they were being funneled to Russia. If convicted, he could get 20 years.